Talk to me English.
Blog Talk Radio.
You are fake news.
Man. Y'all heard that. The president, Donald Trump, said, you are fake news. And man, I don't, you know, that right there, when it came off his lips, must have been heavenly sent. That's all I can contribute it to. You know, one of those things that just dropped in so beautifully. Nobody was expecting it. And if they would have kept messing with him, he would have never came out with that. They brought that on themselves. Jim Acosta just kept pushing. Did y'all remember, Mr. President, why won't you take my question? Mr. President, he's like, look, no, I'm not going to take your question, Jim. No, Jim, I'm not. But Jim, don't act. Jim, you know what? Because you are fake news. Jim brought that on himself. And he brought that whole heap down on the rest of the whole liberal media. Because from now on, they'll always be known as the fake news. And man, they get faker and faker every single day, especially after Trump is not the president anymore and they have to make up even more fake stuff, y'all. They have shifted their fakeness, you know what I'm saying? Which is kind of ironic because they still bring in Trump somehow into the fakeness. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, I thought Trump wasn't the president anymore, but y'all still, oh, okay. These are the preemptive Trump strikes, just in case he decides to run again or something like that. I see where they're going with it. But nonetheless, they're taking a beating because they're no longer able to get at Trump and use him as a punching bag. And for the ratings, which we're going to be talking about tonight, we're going to be exposing how fake they really are, which we already know. But I always like to just drive it home again. You know, they're that kid that just, they do stuff to bring it on themselves. You like, dude, we had a kid in high school. He loved to get bullied. He knew there were certain folks that would pick on him, go up to him every time. There he goes. We like, Kenny, why are you going over there? Kenny, they're going to bully you. Yeah, I know. I guess Kenny decided, you know what? Negative attention is better than no attention. And so apparently the liberal media is going with one of those theories, I guess. I mean, you know what? Yeah, we know we're fake news, but we're going to get faker. And at least people will laugh at us and mock us, but they'll still be watching us. So I'm here to bring out this stuff so you don't actually have to watch it, along with some other things we need to talk about tonight. Now, welcome to Kevin's Corner, where I try to make sense out of nonsense. And, of course, somebody said they killed Kenny. Kenny actually is still alive, and he voted for the president. So, you know, I got a love on Kenny now. In high school, you know, there was a couple of times I might even throw a couple blows, you know, but he was always my boy, though. I still love him to this day. Now, welcome to Kevin's Corner. If this is your first time, I hope you have a great time. If it's not, make sure that you hit that like button and all those good things. If you decide you need to call in and chit-chat with me during my live show, feel free. But make sure when you do it that you hit number one so I can actually know who I'm talking to, which, hey, check this out. Somebody's waiting right now. So before we get into the content tonight, let's find out who's on the other end, and then we'll get into what we're going to be talking about tonight. So here we go. I haven't taken a call in a minute, y'all. Let's see. Let's see what he sees. Mm-hmm. And we might be live. Hey, what's going on? This is Kevin from Kevin's Phone. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Kevin, it's Ryan. Haven't talked to you in a while. How you doing?
My man. Yep. You know what? I recognize that error code. What's happening, Ryan? How you feeling, man?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Loving life without my mask right now. Of course, you know the. If the Democrats get their way, they're going to bring the mask back and lock us all down again. But, you know, some people like that. People I work with, girls at work, talking about, I love the lockdowns, man. I was able to do what I wanted. And I'm like, you don't understand where they're coming from. You don't understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to control us. You see the people coming from Cuba, and they don't want to let them in. Because they're trying, because right. They know they'll vote Republican most of the time because they're fleeing communism. And they, if they see it here, they're going to be like, man, I ain't voting for that. But yet, they're willing to let people come through the border and like, oh, the Delta variant is spreading. No, oh, it's spreading. We got to lock everything down. Well, where's it spreading from? It's coming from the border because they got the border open. If you really cared about the American people, you let the border stay closed. And I don't want to take up too much more of your time, so I just got one last thing I want to ask you a question on. What do you think about Mike Lindell coming out and saying that August 12th, I think he said he's going to release all his information about the fraud from the 2020 election. And then he says on August 13th to 14th, he said he predicts that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will most likely resign. I don't know if that part's true, but it'd be kind of funny if they did resign because then Although that would leave us with Nancy Pelosi, though. But, you know, she would – and then I think they would have to – I don't know my government, my politics too much. Haven't been in school in a while. But I think that they would have to hold a special election, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it would. You know what? Something like that happened, it might either lead to a special election, or if it proves without a doubt that it was some fraudulence that took place, which we all kind of, you know, deep down in our gut feel that way. I think the former president would be able to serve the remainder of what it would have been if he would have, you know, won. So in a sense,
right.
But I'm not totally sure. It would be very interesting, and I've heard that theory as well. And my gut, that didn't just come from him, Mike Lindell. That came from several other sources that I heard as well, which, let's be honest, he would simply be releasing what we already, you know, have peeped out. But I'm pretty sure, based on the way that a lot of the media is reacting to what's going on in Arizona and Twitter, just for some reason decided to just shut down the account of all the folks that's doing the auditing in Arizona. And I think they might be preparing for a preemptive strike just in case something like that happens. And for it to happen, though, it would have to be so clear and so overwhelming to where even the raggedy, disgusting, stinking media wouldn't be able to deny it. You know what I mean? Because they're trying to lay the groundwork for these guys are just chasing conspiracies again, and these guys are just believing Russian propaganda. They're still trying to lay that groundwork because they know that they assisted in that whole thing anyway. So if Lindell has something, it's going to be real interesting to see not only what he has, but the reaction to what he has. And if it's so clear and so damaging, then yes, I think it would be, you know, something to where those two would have to step down. If they wanted to save our country, which we honestly know they don't, they just want to control our country. But if they really had a heart for our country, and something like that came out undeniably, they would know that it would go from just, oh, yeah, these folks are just running around whining because they lost the election, to these folks now know what went on. Even the folks in the middle or in between know what went on. And now we're looking at a real constitutional crisis, not a manufactured one that these Democrats have been making up. So if they wanted to keep our country from turning into real full-blown chaos, they probably should step down. But we know the Democrats, that's not their style. You know, they would just make up a lie, ride it all the way out, and just say, well, let the chips fall where they may. And I'm going to let you know, I'd be one of those chips. So, you know, it's a mess, man. Yeah. But I like your style, Ryan. I like your knowledge. I like the stuff that you're dropping. I'm liking the way you're thinking, brother. And I love when you call in.
Well, I finally came out as at work and even to my parents and told them, you know, told my mom and dad that I voted for Trump. And my mom kind of was just like, they just kind of for like a whole 2 days, they didn't even want to talk to me. And I'm just like, I just can't believe how deep it runs, like how deep the hate runs.
Yeah. It's deep, man. And you know, I was just talking to someone about it the other day. It's a difference between the way we respond and the way they respond. Even though we might clown some liberals and say, man, y'all using liberal logic, or y'all ain't using logic at all, or y'all maybe were dumb when you voted. But it's not accompanied with, okay, we think you were dumb when you voted, and now we hate you. It's not one of those, we think you were dumb when you voted, now you're not my cousin no more, or we can't be cool.
Yeah.
It's not that level. But because of the rhetoric that's been backed up by the media and the Democrats, when folks find out you voted for Trump, then it, for some reason, it's personal to them. And they're looking at you like, man, I almost fight you, like you betrayed them, you know. And so it shuts down any debate, any questioning. It shuts down the ability to sit and take some reasoning and say, man, you know what? Why did you vote for Trump? And it's a couple other things we're going to be talking about tonight to where folks need to step back and just say, now, hold up. Before I jump out there and say, I know you didn't do this because you're a Trump supporter or you're a conservative, how about asking, why didn't you do this? What's your logic? What's your reasoning behind it? And unfortunately, even folks that have been knowing us all of our lives, they would just bypass that whole history of knowing a person and just say, you know what? Let me erase all that. Let me act as if I just met you today, you know, and it's amazing how they're able to do that, where they will not say, well, this is my boy, Kev. You know, I mean, let me stop and talk to him. It'll go from that to, man, you know what? You are this and this and that. And I'm going, you act like you don't know me, you know? So I think it messes with people's mind, and that's why we kind of affectionately joke and say Trump derangement syndrome. But, man, there's some truth to what we're saying because of the reaction to the people when they find out that, oh, man, if you voted for Trump, it's over the top. It really is, man. But, hey, Ryan, man, I cannot tell you how much
God bless
I appreciate every single time you call, man. God bless you too, brother. And I'll be praying for you down there. And make sure you stay in touch with me, okay?
I will. All right, bye-bye.
Okay, man. All right, have a good one, man. Yeah, y'all. Y'all hear my man Ryan? My man Ryan's becoming a Jedi. Uh-huh. See, once you open your eyes to this craziness that's going on around the country, once you say, wait a minute, hold up. I've just been walking through life. I might catch a quick clip on the news as I'm walking through the airport. I might just click on Yahoo and something pops up. And, oh, that's interesting. Once you realize how serious this stuff is, you can't unsee it. It trains your brain to start viewing this stuff differently. You start catching stuff. You start thinking differently. You start making connections and connecting all kind of dots. And once you start doing that, you become a problem to folks who are casual viewers of politics, folks that just follow any old narrative. And that's what makes folks get mad at you. They sit back and they say, man, you know what? I would like to argue with you, but everything you say makes sense. And what I'm thinking don't make sense. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to call you a sellout. There it is. I'm just going to call you an Uncle Tom. Uh-huh. I ain't got to deal with what you're talking about. So that's what we're looking at, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm about to expose really some of the major problems, some of the stuff that's behind all of this. Starting off with this insane man right here. And I'm sure you'll all recognize this voice right here.
31 years ago today, on the south lawn of the White House, President George H.W. Bush signed the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Oh, okay.
He was surrounded by disability advocates and bipartisan members of the United States Congress, just as we are today.
Uh-huh.
Speaker Pelosi.
Oh,
welcome,
Nancy?
By the way, Madam Speaker.
Okay. Y'all hear creepy? He's welcoming Nancy. So we got creepy? We got nasty. They're like the seven dwarfs. We got creepy. We got chameleon. We got all of them. They're all around the place. So here he is. Welcome, creepy. I'm creepy, and here's our nasty. So let's continue. Here we go.
Chairman Leahy, Leader McCarthy, Senator Casey, Congressman Scott, Congressman. There you are, Bob. You understand it better than anybody does.
Uh-huh.
And I want to thank you, Congressman, for all your work.
Okay.
And I want to thank you all for being here.
Yeah.
Second, by the way, where's Mom?
Who?
Is she here? Oh, she's watching.
Wait a minute. Who's Joe talking about? I mean, it can't be Joe's mom. Is his mom still alive? Or are you getting me? What mom is he talking about? Nobody knows. Nobody followed up. You can't just throw out a random name when you're the president like that and not tell me who's mom. At least connect the dots, make it relevant to the question, to the conversation, to the statement, nothing. He just dropped Mom in out of nowhere. Hey, by the way, where's Mom? Did he revert back to his childhood stage? You know, sometimes when your brain ain't right, you kind of go back to the childhood stage. So I don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody, as of now, has come out and told me who's Mom. I need to find out who's Mom, or else I just have to chalk it up as Joe's crazy, which probably Joe's crazy. But anyway, let's move on from Mom because we got some more nonsense to come.
Okay, I thought you looked. I said, Mom was out there. I was going to ask her to stand up. But, Mom, you can't stand up if you're home. But, folks, give you a
don't
thank you for
that.
What you've done.
Don't you clap for that. Don't be up there. Whoever Mom is, I'm assuming she's a good person. Don't you be clapping for that. My question would be, excuse me, Mr. Creep, sleep slimy, sloppy sleeves, who's Mom? What mom are you referring to? But you know what? That's the luxury that this dude has as a Democrat Republican. I mean, a Democrat politician. And it's really sad. As we sit back and we observe these Democrats across the board, they have the easiest job because it's uncontested by the people who's supposed to be keeping them in check. who's supposed to be calling them in and saying, here, we want you to be accountable for what you just said. We want you to explain to us who's mom. Is that some secret password? Uh-huh. To Chi? We don't know. Is Chi mom? We don't know. But see, I'm about to prove the point, even more so, because here is the media about to give a perfect example of them helping assist push a narrative that the majority of Americans don't want. They're trying to shovel this mess down our throat through propaganda and through bringing folks on to their network and allowing them to spew stuff like this. Now, in this clip, y'all, we got the dumbest, raggediest, disgusting commentator, Don Lemon. And then he teamed up with the dumbest, raggediest Democrat, AOC. So here's Bubblehead teaming up with Don Lemon for some more propaganda about this critical race theory, which if you have any common sense, you'll realize she's describing the whole playbook of the Democrat Party as she tries to project on the Republicans. So let's check this clip out.
So Congresswoman, I want to ask you about this debate that we're seeing over critical race theory. Do you think Republican efforts to redefine it and use it as a scare tactic, do you think it's working?
Listen to the terms. Listen to the terminology. You think this that the Republicans have taken and redefined it and to use it as a scare tactic, not properly define it, not expose it for what it is, and instead of using it as a scare tactic, use it as information to the people about what's really going on. But Don Lemon, he already throws, you know, the angle to it. He already puts the negative terms to it and the negative language so that it gets the audience mind to already go in thinking that, oh, I'm about to hear some Republican propaganda here. That's what I'm about to hear. No, I'm not about to be informed. I'm not going to be educated. I'm not going to even be given some information and allowed to review this information objectively. No, no, that's not what's about to happen. Don Lemon done set it already. He done set the scene. So he goes in trying to add, do you think the Republicans fear tactics?
So Congresswoman, I want to ask you about this debate that we're seeing over critical race theory. Do you think Republican efforts to redefine it and use it as a scare tactic, do you think it's working?
Oh, Bubba One.
Well, I do think it's working.
Let me get our sound effects together. Is that loud enough? Is that a... Okay, there we go. I got the bubbles ready. Here we go.
Because what we have seen is that the Republican base, the Republican Party, has really pivoted to a strategy of using race and using just a changing demographic.
Now, did y'all hear that? Did you hear Bubble One? Bubble One came in talking about something. The Republican strategy has really pivoted to using race. The party that uses race for everything. It's because I'm Latina. It's because they're black. They're Asian. Because this woman had the nerve to say, we pivoted to using race. The whole reason we're upset about critical race theory is because it's racist. Because it focuses so much on race. We would rather not talk about race. But here's this woman who her whole party uses race every single application, and all of a sudden we're the ones that's pivoting. So I guess we're the ones responsible for identity politics. I guess we're the ones that every time you stick a mic in our face, regardless of what the question is, somehow racism is mixed in. Excuse me, Congressman, did you go fishing the other day? Well, yes, I did. But while I was out there fishing, I said to myself, it's so sad that some poor inner city black kid can't fish. Those black kids don't know anything about this. And I looked over to my wife and I said, honey, do you ever think sometime we're suffering from white privilege? And right then she looked me in my eye and said, yes, we are. I said, let's throw these fish back and let's go home and sulk and blame ourselves for everything that happened to the black man, unlike those Republicans. So here, these folks who bring in race on every application got the nerve to bring her on to make it appear that we just got mad about critical race theory solely to use this as a wedge, solely to point towards the fact that Democrats over there, they're trying to change the demographics, and we don't want that to happen because we're racist. Oh, those Democrats over there simply want to teach about slavery and the histories and the plight and the struggle. of the black man. And these Republicans don't want us to do it solely because they're trying to hide all of the white history and systemic racism that they're responsible for. This woman's a bubblehead. That is why I nicknamed her Bubble One. She's the number one bubble. Every single bubble that comes out of her. She's that thing that when you used to get Mr. Bubble and would pull that stick out, without the stick, no other bubbles come. She's the stick that blows the bubbles. Man, this woman right here is responsible. And they just come out all over the place. But let's finish here in Bubble One.
Ethics of this country, and as we saw on January 6th, using a white supremacist core logic.
Where? How does Bubble One know that? See, this is the lie. This is the insinuation right here. Just like in January 6th, using a white supremacist core logic. Now, was that when they were running through that Capitol with black folks also in that crowd? I'm just wondering. Were all those, the black folks that came up there, were they also yelling, you know what, white power? I'm just wondering. Maybe their makeup was applied so wonderfully that all those white supremacists couldn't even recognize them. Yeah, I thought this guy was one of my neighbors right here, man. Thought his name was Billy Bob. Lives right down the corner. I had no idea he's black. But yet, here she is, like all the Democrats and like all of the folks, including Don Lamone, are now assigning some other motive to what happened on the 6th. Now, even if the 6th was an insurrection, it still wasn't driven by race. This is the stuff that she's accusing us of that she's now doing. Do you see the irony in this? So just about 15 seconds ago, she was insinuating that it's the Republicans that have started to focus on race somehow. As she then immediately goes right into saying that the whole thing that took place on the 6th was because of race. And yet not one of those people said that. Not one person. All the video footage, you know one thing I didn't hear? We're running here and saying, white supremacy, man, as we were running. They're running there talking about some white power. That I didn't see. I didn't hear one person say nothing like that. I didn't hear one person of color go to a mic and say, man, I was in that crowd and they were looking at me sideways. Like, what in the heck are you doing in here, boy? Nothing like that took place. But they just decided, you know what? Who's going to check us? We're the lying liberal media. And here she is teaming up with that liar. So now we got two liars. They teaming up, and she's talking about some the 6th and white supremacy. Didn't stop one of those folks to say, are you a white supremacist? But here we go. Let's just continue exposing their hypocrisy.
In order to reanimate a very core fear in this country of the other. And so
reprojection. Put your dumbness to the works. So here's this woman out here talking about, you know, to restoke fear of each other as they get up every single day and go to a mic and say, you know what, cops are systemically racist, white supremacy, anti-gay, anti-lesbian, anti-trans, and all of these people, and you know what, anti-woman. Their whole goal and mission is to divide and make folks walk around paranoid over everybody. If somebody of a different race comes around you, you all go something. You know, I'm not in my normal environment. Now, I've been walking around for the last 2 days, and guess what I saw, y'all? Come here, y'all. Y'all might not believe it if you watch the fake news. I've been seeing mostly white people, and I'm talking about a lot of them. Not one of them looked at me and said, what? Huh? Look at that. What is that man doing down here amongst us white people? Not one. Where is all of this white supremacy? It's only, you know what? I would think, you know, I got a little bit of left in me and all that stuff. But, I mean, shoot, I don't think I could go to war with like 1,500, you know, 200, you know, 300, 400, 500 white folks. So I think if they really wanted to get hold of me, they could. But guess what they did, y'all? Walked past, said hello, howdy do. Some of them even stopped and talked. Not one said, hey, surround him, circling. We got to get him out of here, Earl. Not one. Where's all this white supremacy and hate and division coming from that she's talking about? This is the stuff that I scratch my head and say that how can you buy into something that you're not seeing every single day? When the AG gets up and says the number one threat to the homeland is white supremacy, and yet as a black man I'm able to walk amongst a whole bunch of white folks, I'm starting to question your motive for saying that, buddy. Let's continue though.
What's really important is that we come together and have a very strong rebuttal to that core logic.
So we come together. Who's we? Who is we? Are you talking about Don Lemon? Of course. See, the folks that just came together, excuse me, is the propaganda network for the Democrat Party, and they say we got to change this narrative, see, because we're starting to figure out something. America wants to regurgitate this narrative, but we got to keep trying to shovel this spoonful of trash down their throats, and we need some help. So, yes, media, do what you can. Now we got to bring in Bubble One. Now, because he supports critical race theory, this dude, number one, starts off with negatively setting the tone for the Republicans or anybody who resists critical race theory. Number two, he allows the dumbest woman in Congress to get up here and say this stuff, and not once did he stop her and say, now, wait a minute, I have to stop you, Congresswoman, because actually, no, if this was a Republican on here and was saying anything remotely close, even he could probably say exactly what she's saying right now. And Don Lemon would find a way to be just completely combative with him or her. But here, he's just sitting back, sopping it all up, y'all, like it's a biscuit and some syrup. He all down in there, y'all. Biscuits and syrup. He's sopping up this bubbleness like biscuits into some syrup, y'all. And ain't even saying nothing. Let's continue.
Not just in fact-checking Republican claims, but actually confronting the core logic and addressing the core fears that they're trying to really tap into when they try to use terms like critical race.
Right there. Right there. Here she, the irony of all of this. She's dumb, and she's talking about the core logic. You're not Spock. Who are you? What did the... This woman won't even take a debate from anybody. That's why she goes on shows like Dynamo's. They bring her out for propaganda only. They don't want her to get exposed for being dumb, which if you have common sense and you watch her for about 35 seconds, you'll know that. Somehow, though, she keeps getting elected, which, I mean, there are like two people in her district. That, I mean, look, man, it's just us two. Why not? But I just don't get it. So now here she is talking about the core logic up there. And even if they use terms like critical race theory, what do you mean? That's the term. That is the term that made all of our feathers stand up on our neck. But now all of a sudden she's using it like we came up with the term, like we coined it. You know, let's hear that garbage again that doesn't make any sense.
Like critical race theory as a proxy for two when they try to use terms like critical race theory.
Try to use terms like critical race theory. I didn't come up with that. I didn't make that term up, y'all. In fact, I didn't know nothing about no critical race theory, and neither did all the kids they're trying to shove it down their throats. A whole bunch of folks didn't know nothing about no critical race theory until they brought it up. And the only reason they're trying to change this narrative is once that cat got out the bag, y'all, that cat went to scratching. Once that monkey got out the bag and took off, they realized, oh, we in trouble. Folks done seen the alley cat running around. Folks done seen that monkey swinging, tree to tree. And right about now, we got to reel this mess back in. So even though we were proud of our lovely definition, critical race theory, we love it, critical. Now all of a sudden, what is this critical race theory you all speak of? You and your racism coming up with these crazy terms to demonize what we're really trying to do, which is simply teach American history. Black history, which you don't want us to teach because you're racist. You think they believed it? No? Darn it. Let's try something else. Operation Bubblehead. So here we have it. Now we got Operation Bubblehead.
As a proxy for just saying, talking about race in schools in general.
Y'all hear that? Yeah, it's our fault, y'all. All these parents, and I'm not talking about a bunch of Caucasian parents walking in like, look here, man, I want my kids to learn about no black folks. Ain't got nothing to do with us, man. Ain't got nothing to do with us. No, we're not talking about those folks. See, when you start seeing Latinos, Arabs, black folks, all those parents getting up at these, you know, town meetings and these school board meetings and going in real hard on these school boards, now you got to really change your strategy. See, it's no longer to where they can just point to only white folks who despise this stuff because they could just dismiss all of them as racist. When you start seeing black folks do it, now you're, well, how do we even figure out a way to spin this narrative? So here we have it, y'all. But see, it, you know, my point is Don LaVon brought her on and they tag teamed. And you wonder why folks call them fake news. Look, my man's Ron Tech right here real quick. Listen to this. Five fake news stories, y'all, that Trump was right about. Now imagine how things would have been different if the news would have been honest about these key five elements. Drone Tech, help me out, bud.
Day to go back and look at all the times that Trump was right and the Democrat Party state media was wrong. Kicking it off at number five. Remember the time that Jim Acosta and his cohorts freaked out when Trump warned that not only would Confederate statues be targeted for removal.
What? Do you remember when Acosta flipped out? Yes, Jim Acosta flipped out and went in because he's swooping down that Donald Trump did what?
But also our most honored founders, such as George Washington and Thomas Jefferson.
George Washington was a slave owner. Was George Washington a slave owner? So will George Washington now lose his status? Are we going to take down statues to George Washington? How about Thomas Jefferson? What do you think of Thomas Jefferson? You like him? Okay, good. Are we going to take down the statue? Because he was a major slave owner. Now we're going to take down his statue. So you know what? It's fine. You're changing history. You're changing culture.
I want you to just clarify for our viewers.
Now y'all hear that? When Trump brought that up, because those Democrats unleashed all these radicals running around the country, tearing down stuff, no permission. No, let's go to the city council and do the actual process of going through all of that. We vote 80 to 20. We're going to tear it down. No. These were full-blown anarchists, violent disruptors empowered by the liberal media and those raggedy Democrats to go and tear down and disrupt our whole society. Now, here you are. Even if you didn't agree with the statute, if you are a person that respects law and order, if you're trying to keep complete mob violence from skyrocketing, then you would say, dude, even if I don't agree with that, you can't just be going and tearing up stuff. You can't be like a kid. Just this society, you know what, I don't like stuff, so I'm going to tear up stuff. You in the kindergarten, and all right, open up your books, we're going to color. And you don't want to color because you keep going out the lines. And your response is, well, let me rip up the book and throw it all up in the air and fall on the floor and start kicking and screaming. You cannot encourage that behavior. So the media sat back and watched that, and when Trump saw it, and brings it out, of course it couldn't be because he's trying to keep law and order. No. It's because he loves all of those racist Democrat heroes. Because those statues that prompted all of this were all racist Democrat heroes. All of them. So yet, while these folks went out and tore it down, Trump brings this up, and they're like, yeah, well, he's, you know, Trump and all this craziness. Well, let's see what happens.
Briefly, the distinction to be made between slave-owning presidents and founding fathers and slave owners who fought to keep that peculiar institution intact.
Right. So when you are in rebellion against the founding ideals of the country, that is vastly different than being a creator of those founding ideals, as imperfect as Washington was, as imperfect as Jefferson.
So y'all hear CBS try to bring this Caucasian man on here to try to spin this somehow to make Trump look like he was wrong. The difference is it's different when you there were slaves, and then there were folks who that owned slaves, but they weren't like the bad ones. The owner slaves went it. So when he said Washington, he wasn't talking about the ones that. Because, see, and that's what happens, and that's why you can't compare the two. And he's looking around going, did that make any sense? No? Okay. What should we do? Operation Bubblehead? When in doubt, Operation Bubblehead. So here they go. They're trying to make Trump look bad, like he was wrong. Let's see what happens.
Jefferson was. To focus on similarities again, much further down the list, is to misunderstand the prioritization of the moral elements that are at the top of the list.
There you go. Use big words. Confuse people. They won't know what the heck you're talking about. Because on one hand, you have the hypothic photosynthesis that started with the proximeter that created the vagilacular. That started to create the equator that brings forth the spiration of all of the plantational extremist like secretions. It's the secretions you got to watch out for. See? Operation Bubblehead? Okay, Operation Bubblehead. Let's go with it. Here we go. Let's
see. In this press conference and multiple times on Twitter, President Trump has drawn comparisons between Confederate General Robert E. Lee and President George Washington.
Overnight, a group of people tore down the George Washington statue in Northeast Portland. This was near Northeast 57th and Sandy Boulevard about 11 last night.
A Fox 12 viewer sent us this video of the statue of the nation's third president as it was pulled down. Thomas Jefferson wrote, "All men are created equal." He also owned as many as 600 slaves.
A historic Virginia church, as we told you yesterday, where George Washington frequently worshipped, will remove a memorial plaque honoring America's first president.
He spent 20 years of his life. The church will also take down a memorial honoring Robert E. Lee. But where does this political correctness stop?
We're going to have to re-sacrifice. We're
going
to have to change our
traditions.
Our
anybody using
this
logic?
I got caught up in the dancing. See, so. As we sat back and listened to this, Trump was right again. Here he is straight up telling them, look, man, y'all opening up a can of worms that y'all ain't going to be able to put the lid on. Oh, this guy's overreacting. He's always talking about stuff. And what happened? They did exactly what Trump said they would do. What else? Let's see what else.
Take down Confederate statues could easily use it against any American history or symbol. To and including Mount Rushmore or even the American flag.
Where's in at
number four, okay. Remember when Trump warned about Antifa using cans of soup as weapons against police and generally anybody they don't like? And once again, the media responded with their attitude.
What was this? Trump rant about anarchist protesters wielding deadly cans of soup goes viral. What? The terrible dangers of weaponized soup. Sounds like they're being a little sarcastic. What's this? Apparently, Trump is very scared of Antifa, new secret weapon, soup. Oh, what's this? Fact check. Are protesters storing cans of soup, tuna, as Trump claims?
Without investigating the claim at all.
Have you been out here the last couple of days?
Yeah. Well, I've been here all four nights. I'm just standing here today with food for my family.
Now, I watched the montage of all of those liberal networks demonizing Trump over this can of soup comment. Look, it's crazy. The man obviously lost. Now I'm watching the raggediest network interviewing this dude, and guess what he has in his hand, y'all? A can of soup. Now, the funny part, as she asked him about the soup, this kid does this. Yeah, I'm just here with some soup for my family. Looks at the camera and goes, wink, the wink. He gives the wink. And yet, CNN, they're the one doing interviews. She didn't catch that. She's not realizing that you don't bring cans of soup to protest. Anyway,
we're just, you know, watching all of this unfold. It's very unfortunate.
You're not planning on using that, are you? Throwing it at the police?
Like I said, it's for my family.
Literally for your family.
At number three, we have the Lafayette Square story, which is mind-blowing on multiple levels because what we essentially had there was a real insurrection, in the form of attacks on the White House and the D.C. area at large, which included an attempt to burn down a church. They mocked Trump for erecting a wall to protect the White House and joked that Trump was hiding in a bunker.
Wait a minute. So they mocked Trump for, you know, creating a wall for the White House? You mean like the fence that Nancy Pelosi put around the whole Capitol building? That one? Like that? Like when Trump wanted to bring in the National Guard to shut this mess down? And Nancy Pelosi and the rest of them mocked Trump. He's misusing the military. And she kept them there forever after making them sleep in the basement down there in the parking lot on the ground. You know what I mean? But, you know, I mean, who's really being all meticulous like that? So here they tried to say Trump did all of this just so he can go and take a photo op. Now, I remember this. So please, drone tech, Don't you be going and telling me after I watched that montage of all of these raggedy politicians, all of these raggedy commentators demonizing Trump over this. You're not going to tell me that it turned out that it was a lie? Oh, let's see.
The media myth-making continued with an erroneous claim that Trump had used tear gas against allegedly peaceful protesters
that was the rumor.
In order to make a photo op at that same church that Antifa almost burned down.
No, right outside the White House, the president wanted to speak in the Rose Garden. Rubber bullets, flashbangs, tear gas deployed to disperse the crowd, a peaceful crowd. And then the president, it became clear he did all that so that he would be able to walk across the street for a photo op.
So the president said that? Listen, the only reason I did this is so I could walk across the street and do a photo op. So here they are trying to make us think that that was Trump's motive. First of all, that's the first lie. But number two, it never even happened. This is the stuff that I'm talking about. Now understand, all of these folks ran this for days right before an election as if it was dead true. So let's hear some of the rest of this propaganda. Listen to this guy that this woman on CNN is talking to, this black, because you got to bring black guy. You got to bring a black guy on, you know, old black dude, looked like he led the civil rights movement, head full of gray hair, looking like dandelions after they bloom and turn into those little, you know, helicopters and things. All of them just settled right on top of this man's head. So here he goes. Let's see. Talk with him.
With members of the White House staff outside St. John's Church where he held up a Bible. How did you feel as you saw all of this unfold?
I was thinking that the critical focus of history will judge Donald Trump as a presidential aberration.
What? Now, did y'all hear that? They want to undermine the former president as an aberration. They want to erase him from the history books like he never existed. Like he was just a completely wild virus that just grew. And they're like, dude, I mean, we've never seen this gene sprout up out of nowhere. Then, you know, it's once in a billion. Now, the crazy part is they're trying to erase his history and the impact he's had, not only from their books, but from our minds. They're trying to make sure folks like us don't move forward thinking that, man, Trump was the greatest of all times, which we do. And that is why they already launched that preemptive strike, to make sure that people like us don't be going out and writing down stuff and scribes talking about greatest president ever lived. And my time was Donald Trump. He's the only one that believed in America first. He's the only one that actually did what he said he was going to do. That's why this man wants him to be viewed as an aborigine, just like that evil empire George Soros said. Trump is an anomaly that I'll realize and disappear in 2020. That's why they want him to disappear. They want him to be the exception to the rule. Normally, we don't have ragged bums like him just coming out of nowhere. Usually, we want a more presidential and crazy. Like Joe. Let's continue.
From the White House through the tear gas-laden Lafayette Park to the steps of the Church of the Presidents, St. John's, and holding up that Bible would have made P.T. Barnum proud.
Eyes were endangered for that picture. You know, tear gas, rubber bullets, flashbang grenades. We saw people getting hit. People got hurt.
Y'all hear them lying? Do y'all hear them lying on Trump? All for a photo op. Rubber bullets. Tear gas. People got hurt. This man sounds like he is doing a narration for an Orson Welles radio show. I'm sitting there listening to this dude like, are you kidding me? This man's full-blown lying, y'all. All right, let's hear some more of these lies.
People got hurt. A failure of presidential leadership at a time when this country, when we the people need it more than ever, perhaps in our lifetime. Tonight, with flashbang grenades going off and tear gas in the air, the president of the United States, a wannabe wartime president, he calls them thugs. Who is the thug here? Hiding in a bunker? Hiding behind a suit? Who?
Now you hear this dude, hiding in a bunker. Did Anderson Cooper come out and talk about them raggedy Democrats who took off running when that insurrection happened? Did he say, look at them hiding in a bunker, hiding in a, all of them? Did he even bring up anything about bubble number one lying down in that basement, talking about I was down there scared for my life when they were banging on the door? I thought they were going to kill me. Or even worse, when Tlaib comes and testifies on Congress breaks down crying, not because she was there, but because her friends were there. And she can just think about their fear. And it drove her into, all I can think about is with that deep Kermit the Frog was, all I can think about was Miss Piggy and Fozzie, waka, waka, waka. Man, I'm sitting here watching that mess, and I'm going, how brave are those gentle woodland creatures, those Democrats, those actors and actresses? But yet, Anderson Cooper, he wants to go ahead and say, well, yeah, Trump is down in that bunker. Now, my thought is if I'm the president and what really happened was folks attacking the White House, Secret Service don't give you a choice. They're going to drag you down into the bunker. But, you know, I mean, you know, who cares about that stuff? Let's hear about this lie, though.
Who is the thug?
It turns out that the inspector general found no evidence of the media's insistent claims that were made just before a national election for president.
And
the investigation released this week by Interior Department IG Mark Lee Greenblatt says that the U.S. Park Police and the U.S. Secret Service deemed it necessary to remove protesters from the park on June 1st in order to install anti-scale fencing. The decision was reached after at least 49 U.S. Park police were injured while policing protest days earlier. Wow. 49 injured police that the media never took issue with or blamed on left-wing protesters who were literally attacking the White House and burning down D.C.
That's what I was thinking. Where are all these medals? Why do they want to give medals to the folks on the 6th who waved folks in, threw their arms around folks, walked in with them, took selfies with them, took selfies of them. But yet, those 49 or so police officers that were injured in that, I guess, peaceful protest that took place. And out of nowhere, those folks were sitting around singing, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. What did we do? What did we do? You're in the way of Trump. He wants to come out and do a photo op. So we just had to go ham on you guys. Your singing was irking them. That's what happened. According to Anderson Cooper and the rest.
We're getting into the real good stuff now with number two. It turns out hydrochloroquine does work.
Hydroxychloroquine, which I think, as you know, it's a great malaria drug. It's worked unbelievably. It's a powerful drug on malaria, and there are signs that it works on this, some very strong signs.
Is hydrochloroquine preventative against this virus?
You know, as I said many times, Margaret, the data are really just at best suggestive.
As President of the United States, your words carry enormous weight in this country and around the world. And while you acknowledge you're not a physician, you do promote these medicines extensively here. How do you not go so far as to be giving medical advice?
Why is MSNBC, why is CNN, why is Fox, why is any network running these press conferences where he keeps talking about an unproven drug?
A lot of people would say, follow the money. There's got to be some sort of financial tie to someone.
This is amazing to me, how they can get on TV and just make something up. They can throw out a statement to drag their audience off on a wild goose chase that absolutely no justification for even mentioning that. Out of nowhere, she's like, you know what else? We're going to throw it to spice up our movie. Maybe there's a conspiracy about money. If he's mentioning hydroxy, there's obviously some type of connection with money, some benefit. Forget the fact that Fauci and all of the benefits come from him and all of these pharmaceutical companies who want to push the mots. Forget all of those. Forget the fact that this man was a part of helping finance some of this research over there. Forget that mess. Surely Trump mentioning this other you-know-what has something to do with a personal benefit to him. Because, you know, Trump, he's not going to do that just to save lives. No, it would only be out of greed and global domination. Let's see what really happens.
Somewhere.
Let me assure you, the President of the United States is not taking hydroxychloroquine. So he's not taking something that his own administration has said will kill you.
Hydrochloroquine.
Yes. Yeah, hydrochloroquine.
I can't believe it. I just stocked up on Clorox, and now it comes up with this. Wow. I can't believe anybody with a brain would take that stuff, but you seem like an intelligent guy. You're a representative in Congress. Yeah. Why would you take that drug? There are terrible consequences.
Y'all hear Dr. Joy Behar? Y'all hear Dr. Joy Behar? I mean, why would you take that stuff? There's horrible consequences. How would you know, doctor? Huh? Where did you get your degree from, Dr. Joey Behart? I'm wondering. But yet you're mocking this dude talking about, I mean, you're an idiot. Why would you take that stuff? But yet you're an idiot if you don't get the MOTS that's untested, right? You don't get the MOTS. See, hydroxy been around for a long time. The MOTS have. But yet they're saying we're idiots and we're super spreaders if we don't go down there and just let them put stuff in us that we don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, that makes sense. But anyway, let's see what happened, though. Let's see what the news that came back after we done heard Dr. Behart.
But happens to be wrong.
Wrong, 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 wrong,
wrong,
wrong, wrong, wrong, wrong,
wrong,
wrong, wrong,
wrong.
Thanks to a new study, we now know, long after Trump was already savaged and damaged by the media lies, that hydrochloroquine combined with Alzheimer's therapy at higher doses improves survival by nearly 200%. Think about all the people that could have been saved if not for the media's blind partisanship. Just think of all the people banned and censored in the public square. Again, the drive-by media does what it does. They do their damage, speed away, and only months later are they corrected, long after the damage has been done and they've reaped all the benefits. Finally, at number one, the Wuhan lab leak theory. While the media and Democrats insisted on calling it the Trump virus, we all knew the truth.
Why do you keep calling this the Chinese virus? Why do you keep using this?
Because it comes from China. It's not racist at all, no. Not at all. It comes from China.
Months after countless scientists, conservatives, and Republicans had been demonized and censored, we find out that the Wuhan lab leak theory is not only possible, but the most probable explanation to the worldwide outbreak.
Now, isn't that something, guys?
There's a new epidemic.
Isn't that something? So y'all hear those top beautiful five lies that the media has used, and then all of a sudden comes to find out that Trump was right. As they forgot the montage of all of them, every 2 seconds, Chinese coronavirus, the Wuhan virus, Chinese coronavirus, Wuhan virus. Soon as Trump called it that, why do you keep calling it that? Isn't that racist? Only when you say it, not when we said it, not when we said it. It was in the most purest, enduring context when we called it the Chinese Wuhan virus. Not like you racist. See, just the fact that you're racist makes it worse when you call it the Chinese Wuhan virus versus us. So what are the consequences of all of their lies? I think we better find out. Here is a wonderful montage that somebody put together to expose exactly what some of the fallout is over these lies.
There's a new epidemic spreading at CNN and MSNBC. Low ratings. After breaking their own record highs for years, the networks now find themselves in a free fall. For most of the 2000s, cable TV ratings were normal. Channels like ESPN, Disney, TBS, and HGTV ranked the highest, while CNN and MSNBC took lower positions, sometimes not even cracking the top 20. But everything changed when Donald Trump went down the golden escalators in 2015. Viewership for CNN and MSNBC shot straight up. They went from trailing the Hallmark Channel to competing with the top spots. 2016 was CNN's most watched year ever. They experienced an astounding 76% boost in ratings and then broke their own record again in 2017. MSNBC experienced even more explosive growth with the arrival of Trump on the scene. In 2016, the outlet nearly doubled its viewership, but it didn't stop there. The network has broken their own viewership records every single year since 2015. Trump is a con. Programs like New Day with Chris Cuomo, CNN Tonight with Don Lemon, The Rachel Maddow Show, and Morning Joe all contributed to the explosive growth and all had one thing in common. They milked the Trump campaign and presidency for every ounce of ratings that they could.
No way, man. No way, mister, who put together all of this. You cannot tell me that CNN went from being an upstanding, balanced and fair news organization to a propaganda network. Because, see, here's the crazy part about this, guys. Prior to 2016, I didn't even realize that they were fake news because there was nothing really that they talked about that would highlight it so clearly. I actually had CNN in my phone as like my main source of news. I mean, they covered, you know, basic stuff. I'm like, oh, what? There's a hurricane? You got to be kidding me. That's crazy. Oh, what? What happened? The airplane disappeared. I mean, that dollar mo might be a little wacky and stuff with the whole, you know, Bermuda Triangle. But besides that, yeah, that's pretty good balanced news. It was when Trump came down that escalator is when I said, wait a minute, something just changed. My eyeballs said wide open. I can no longer see him the same anymore. Then you start making other connections. No, wait, why did CNN say this? And then I clicked over to MSNBC, CBS and NBC and ABC. Why are they all saying this? When I saw it with my own eyes, when I heard this with my own ears, and that's not what he said. That's when I realized, when that beautiful statement rolled off his tongue, you are fake news. I said, hallelujah. So let's finish hearing the punishment that they're facing right now.
President Trump.
President Trump.
President Trump. President Trump.
President Trump.
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 The Trump campaign.
Trump campaign.
The Trump campaign.
The Trump campaign.
Trump campaign.
It's the Trump campaign.
Donald Trump.
Trump Russia.
Trump campaign.
The Trump campaign.
The Trump campaign.
Trump campaign.
It didn't matter.
They busting rhymes. Y'all hear the Trump, 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 Trump campaign in Russia. Got to slide that in, too. All right. So y'all hear that? So they was making money off of Trump. The man they hate. The man they love to hate but hate to love. Okay.
No matter what he said or what he did, everything became a story.
At the dessert course, he gets two scoops of vanilla ice cream with his chocolate cream pie.
The New York Times giving us some insight, including his daily regimen of watching up to 8 hours of TV and drink.
Y'all hear this mess? Do y'all hear this propaganda? No wonder at the end of this montage, we're going to find out the price that they paid. Now, here's this woman talking about Trump watches 8 hours of TV a day and drinks, I think, two Cokes, Diet Cokes, or two dozen Diet Cokes, which, first of all, what's it to you? Secondly, if you're trying to tell me that Trump, who outworks every single person, only sleeps 3 hours a night, after he gets up from those 3 hours, Melania, I'm going to turn on the TV, I'm going to watch 8 hours of TV. That's what you're telling me? You're telling me this man wakes up and just turns on the TV? Mr. President, you have meetings. Don't disturb me. I'm watching TV. That's what's happening for 8 hours a day.
Drinking as many as 12 Diet Cokes.
Like the way he drinks water.
The president reached for a glass of water during his national security speech. The president needs to use two hands, apparently, to drink from a water bottle.
They talked about what he...
Y'all hear that? That's real news right there. Unlike Blase Ford. Oh, yeah. Would you like to drink some water? You're brave. Yeah. A drink of water? I'm scared when Rick Kavanaugh. So anyway, when I was... And come to find out, her raggedy tail was at an anti-Trump march a little while ago before she came into that hearing talking about, I was so scared when I was...
War, what he ate, how much he weighed, and, of course, his hair. And then there were the tweets. What? Every statement, every picture, every typo, and every meme became a story and a point for conflict. The networks also focused enormous amounts of time agonizing over the unsubstantiated Russian collusion story, impeachment, and his pitch for the Supreme Court. Trump became the antagonist that CNN and MSNBC had been waiting for.
Cha-ching. Only CNN would ask that.
They even said he was complicit in hurricanes.
What?
A damning Washington Post editorial is calling President Trump, quote, complicit in this storm, not for failing to prepare, but for failing to address climate change.
2020.
The joy. I mean, one of these days, if they ever grow some integrity, they're going to be sitting back watching these archives and going, oh, God, man. These are going to be like those old videos that you find where you thought you was sweet at the time, but then you go back and look later, like, what was I think? Like biker shorts. You know what I mean? I don't know what made us think wearing biker shorts around outside of biking was cool. But we went through that whole phase during that time when it was doing the butt, what, sexy, sexy. Oh, yeah, put your back in motion and all of that, man. Folks was running around wearing underwear. Because that's what biker shorts were. If you weren't out there running track, you don't need to have them on. And now I look back and I'm going, man, why didn't somebody try to warm the Jerry Curl? Stuff like that. My daddy tried to warm me. Old man Teddy. Dude, you're going to one day look back at those pictures with that Jerry Curl and you're going to say, what was I thinking? Dad, you just don't understand, man. It's the style. Ruin it. All of my pillows, couldn't sleep the first two or three nights after you get your curl because you don't want to mess it up. So you sit up, head all stiff, neck tight, probably why I got neck problems right now. And yet, he tried to warn me, y'all. Every time somebody show me one of those pictures, I'd be like, hey, give me this, man. Give me this. Uh-uh. That's how they're going to feel. They're going to be looking like, I cannot believe I was sitting there saying that President Trump was responsible for hurricanes. Oh, that's a low. An all-time low.
When he brought a new flood of viewers as the media blamed Trump for nearly every aspect of the COVID-19 pandemic, how it began, how it spread, and how every human was doomed. The 2020 election also helped to provide the biggest news ratings year ever. Everything changed, however, when Trump was banned from social media in January of 2021 and left office soon after. The media lost their treasure trove of content.
So, their golden goose was gone. Now, some of y'all saying y'all want to see those pictures. No, you don't. It will never happen. You understand? I'm telling you right now, y'all going to have Mission Impossible sneak into my crib to get those pictures, all right? You ain't going to see that footage. Let's continue, though.
And suddenly, they had nothing to talk about. It only took about 50 days for CNN to lose 1.6 million of their primetime viewers.
What?
That's
what?
A drop of 36% in only a few weeks. Even worse, half of the viewers in the...
Now, guys, I shouldn't be excited and laughing over their calamities. Should I? Is it okay for me? I kind of feel a little bit bad. I shouldn't be celebrating. Should I? Or should I? I think I should. Let's hear more about these declining views.
Key 25 to 54 age group tuned out, which means prices for advertisements also had to drop significantly. The story over at MSNBC was the same. They experienced a 41% decline between March of 2020 and 2021. Digging into the ratings a bit more shows that the first few months of Biden's tenure had been no less than an embarrassing beatdown for CNN. CNN's best performing primetime anchor, Chris Cuomo, ranked 22nd among cable shows.
Oh!
Don Lemon, another leading CNN anchor, took 37th.
37th?
Jake Tapper has lost three quarters of it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got the final results of the race. Out of 37 people, we'll start with number 37, Don Lemon. So you telling me? Okay, I'm supposed to be feeling bad for him. Hold on for a minute, y'all. Oh, man, it's messed up. Okay, let's continue.
His audience, January, and Brian Seltzer hasn't even broken 1 million viewers for 12 weeks straight.
And then dead last. Yes, that's right. You know him as Open Stadium, okay? That's right, or Little Brian Seltzer. Bringing up the rear, that little pooper is at dead last. This dude can't break 1 million. Now, that's crazy. And we're about to find out why Little Brian can't break that 1 million in a second.
Journalist Ted Koppel predicted this exact scenario in 2018.
Oh, the ratings are up. It means you can't do without Donald Trump. You would be lost without Donald Trump.
Ted, you know that's not true.
I mean, come on, Ted. What are you saying? Now? You should be exposing me on national TV.
CNN's ratings would be in the toilet without Donald Trump.
You know that's not true. You're playing for laughs.
Many pundits have attributed the decline in news ratings to Biden acting, quote, more presidential.
More presidential.
But Biden has had plenty of non-presidential moments that certainly would have drawn scrutiny if Trump were in his shoes.
Now, wait. What I love about this montage is this man, to anyone with common sense, he's about to show the contrast. Because it's not that Biden doesn't provide enough material to be controversial. In fact, he provides a plethora of material that they could benefit off of if they were all about reporting real news and building their ratings. But for some reason, they choose to cover what you're about to hear, not in the way that they would cover it with Trump, but instead in this way.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black.
No, he's not talking about black in the black sense of black people. No, no. When he was saying black, he was talking about the darkest days of humanity and that at this point we need to see it in a more brighter way. So therefore, because Joe is bright, if you don't vote for him, you're seeing black. And you don't want to be black. That's why he's saying you ain't black. Operation Bubblehead, yes? Okay, call her in. Here we go, some more.
And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
He didn't mean kids like in Strangers or the ones that he sniffed. He's talking about baby goats kicks. That's what a baby goat is. He is reminiscing back when he was a child where his father would like be in the coal mines or some other thing he said his fathers and all of those people did. Anyway, that's what he's talking about, where he would go in that coal mine deep down and he discovered a baby goat. And at that point, he said, Joey, bring that kid over here. And that kid came and jumped right on Joey's lap. That's the kid he's referring to, not the little ones that's all around him. No, not those. Let's see.
Why?
You're good. Right there. He's about to sing a song from Tone A when he would say, why? And it looked like he was angry and threatening that regular citizen right there. No. He was about to say, why? Someone tell me why. Why did I make my Savior cry? That's what he was really about to do. The whys, but, you know, that it got cut off and you didn't hear the rest of it. Here we go.
I'm nervous, man.
Look, here's the deal.
Now, when he was calling that man fat, he wasn't talking about fat in the fat sense. He was talking about it in the black way. You know, like, dude, man, that's fat right there. He was complimenting this man when he said, you're fat. Okay? See, here we go.
For example, here's Biden and Trump getting into heated exchanges with the same CNN reporter.
Okay.
The way the media responded to the outburst, however, is completely different.
Why are you so confident he'll change his behavior, Mr. President?
Yeah, I'm not confident.
So how did that account to a construction?
You don't understand that. You're in the wrong business. Don't make Joe put my hands on. All right, so let's see how the media covered that.
Striking to just see the confidence in his approach, in his tone. He, certainly was comfortable in that moment, taking off his jacket, answering these questions. Now, here's how the media responded after Trump's exchange with that same CNN reporter.
Why is this a global competition to you if everyday Americans are still losing their lives and we're still seeing more cases every day?
Well, they're losing their lives everywhere in the world. And maybe that's a question you should ask China.
Wow, he was a lot more gentle than Joe. Joe was rough. Joe almost looked like he's going to come over there and pop that girl in the mouth. Let's see how they, go ahead and...
Don't ask me. Ask China that question, okay? When you ask them that question, you may get a very unusual answer. Yes, behind you, please.
Sir, why are you saying that to me specifically?
I'm telling you, I'm not saying it specifically to anybody. I'm saying it to anybody that would ask a nasty question
like
that.
That's not a nasty question.
Please go ahead.
Why does it matter?
Okay, anybody else? Please, go ahead in the back, please.
I have two questions.
No, it's okay.
So you pointed to me. I have two questions, Mr. President.
Next, please.
You called on me.
Uh-huh. I did, and you didn't respond, and now I'm calling on...
Sorry, I just
the young lady in the back, please.
Now, let's see what CNN says about that.
I just wanted to let my colleagues
okay.
know.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, clearly the president was rattled enough to walk off because he didn't want to hear the questions from Caitlin Collins and Weijia Zhang. The president.
Y'all hear Open Stadium? Y'all hear Open Stadium up top?
Surely the president was rattled. I mean, if he ran off, I mean, what are your questions from Weijia Zhang?
So now this little shiny cue ball head dude right here is trying to make it seem like Trump didn't walk off because those two were being rude and trying to race bait. No, he walked off because they were asking such deep intellectual questions. Did Trump say, you know what, it's too much, it's too deep, I got to bounce.
Routinely targets reporters who are women and people of color.
In another example, the media praised Biden for eating ice cream.
There's been a lot of change in his political career over the years, but the one constant is that Joe Biden really, really loves ice cream. No matter what crisis is sitting on his plate, just get that man a cone.
Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
Mr. President, what did you
order? Chocolate chip.
Y'all got that? All right, yeah, so we interview Joe loves that ice cream. Wherever he goes, no matter what, yeah, it's the ice cream. And it's excuse me, Mr. President, what kind of ice cream you get? Joe had to look at it, y'all. That's the bad part. Hey, Mr. President, what kind of ice cream you get? He's like, what? Who has ice cream? Oh, wait. Oh, this? That's ice cream? Okay, well, what is it? Chocolate chip, yeah. So. All right, let's hear about how they looked at Trump when he was talking about ice cream.
But when Trump was in a similar spot, They accused him of being unhealthy and greedy.
The president gets two scoops. You know, everyone else around the table gets one.
The White House staff has adapted to Donald Trump's taste. So when everyone else gets water, he gets a Diet Coke. When everybody gets one scoop of ice
cream. We can't win for losing. We can't win for losing. So Trump eats ice cream. He's greedy. He's two scoops and this and that. Biden eats ice cream. Is, oh, what flavor did you get? Chocolate. Ooh, I like that. That's my favorite. That's my favorite, too. And yet they're not fake news. Yet they don't deserve that title. This is the stuff right here when you put them side by side. I would challenge any dummy who believed all of this propaganda from them to watch this and say to themselves, nah, there's no difference. You would have to lie through your teeth just like they're lying to listen to this or watch this and come to that conclusion that, no, we weren't set up. No, we weren't tricked. We weren't bamboozled. We weren't manipulated. We weren't gaslit. But this guy, just in case you wonder, just in case, he's going to go ahead and put the dagger in the fake news in a second.
Ice cream, he gets two. It's not that Biden is more presidential. That's not why ratings are going down.
That's not?
The media covers the current president in a completely different way compared to the previous one.
Wait, what?
Why is that? A CNN director revealed the network's different approach to Trump, as he put it. The employee appeared to acknowledge in an undercover video that CNN acted as a propaganda arm of Democrats and that the media worked to get Trump out of office while also cultivating fear over COVID-19.
Look what we did. We got Trump out.
We got Trump out. Now, that's coming from someone, Charlie Chester, CNN technical director. Shouldn't the folks who watch this raggedy network be feeling dumb right about now? Y'all better be lucky, whoever is watching this and voted for Joe, that I didn't bring my major pain piece with that gold tooth. Because right now I'm going, one, don't you feel dumb? Two, look at you. Let's continue because, see, this is CNN people saying this themselves.
I'm 100%
convinced. I don't know if this is CNN. I don't know that Trump would have gotten voted.
My focus was to
get Trump out of office, right? Without saying that, that's what it was, right? I think there's just like a COVID fatigue. So like whenever a new story comes up, they're going to latch onto it.
Do you think it's going to be just like a lot of like fear? Like climate?
Yeah, fear
itself. It
shouldn't. Now, you know what's amazing to me, guys? They got caught. And they did what Democrats do. Eric Swalwell, oh, I'm sorry. Let me call him by his real name. Eric Fartwell. Okay. You know, they just go kind of dormant. They let it run its course and then just come out like nothing happened. But here's the even sadder part about this. Is this dude confessed that CNN was pushing the whole, you know, pandemic thing? Then he even said they were going to next move to climate and push that. He said that they were inflating all of this stuff. He said that they were just coming up with all kind of crazy just ideas about Trump's health. He said all of this. They laid low and relied that all of these clips, all of this stuff revealed, all of this footage would never reach those dummies that believed him. Because, see, let's be real. If the dummies would have seen all of those montages of dang on Creepy Sleepy, on that campaign trail talking about, hey, remember what, I think it's right to have cash care. And yeah, you know what, everybody should go to community college. If they would have saw all of that, then they would have scratched their heads and go, now why would I vote for this dude? I might not like Trump. If they would have saw all of that footage about Bob Alinsky talking about Hunter and Joe's dealings, instead of us being silenced, if they would have listened to all those doctors, real doctors, who came out saying they were treating their patients with that you-know-what that actually worked. But instead, no, we can't have that because, see, that might shut down the pandemic, and then we have to go into the voter booths and vote. We won't have excuses of going door-to-door. Excuse me, Aunt Ethel, what? She died 18 years ago? It's okay, I'm sure. Her ghost would be voting for the Democrats. Uh-huh. They wouldn't have had an excuse to do none of that mess. But they silenced those doctors, real doctors, y'all, even a black one, y'all. And I thought they just, black women especially. And they silenced her. They didn't focus on her results. Know what they focused on? That she believes in witchcraft and voodoo and stuff like that. Uh-huh. Then if they would have just revealed that whole laptop information that Trump was right about, that Giuliani was right about, but no, it was too close to the election. See, now we just listened to CNN talk about we helped Trump, get Trump out. And yet no wonder they came out and had the nerve to say,
the president of the United States is pushing Russian propaganda. Him and his buddy Rudy Giuliani are being used by the Kremlin.
No wonder they said that. And yet they let that stuff just lay low and then come right back out with the next piece of propaganda. They have ran it back with this whole narrative that we're about to hear right after this clip.
It wouldn't be surprising that trust in the media is declining as a result. Only 29% of all Americans said that they trust journalists to report
the
facts. CNN and MSNBC made a lot of money as ratings and viewership went through the roof, thanks to manufactured constant Trump outrage. But they may have compromised the long-term value of their brands. Their audiences have become accustomed to anti-Trump coverage all the time. But now the key ingredient is missing. Trump himself.
See, they got him hooked on junk food. That's what happened. You don't complain when your kid, mama, can I have popsicles for dinner? Can I have a Hostess Twinkie for breakfast? And you start feeding them that mess because you're too lazy to cook? Then all of a sudden, I don't know why he won't eat broccoli. I don't know why they won't eat a salad. You got them hooked on that junk food. So here he goes with his conclusion of the results of their lies.
The New York Times reports that CNN and MSNBC have been working furiously in private to find out how to fix their ratings problem. But one solution they've tried isn't working. In a desperate move, the networks have searched for a new Trump.
New Trump.
And they don't just want someone like Trump.
Okay.
They want someone that they can call Trump.
Like
Brian Stelter seemed to have succeeded in finding a replacement. He selected Tucker Carlson as the new arch nemesis of CNN. He even tried to brand Tucker as, quote, the new Donald Trump.
Tucker Carlson is the new Donald Trump. Every day, Carlson is throwing bombs, offending millions of people, tapping into white male rage and resentment.
The pivot failed to save the journalist from his steep ratings decline, however. His ratings continue to fall, and C-SPAN viewers are even calling in to air their grievances.
I'd like to ask Brian to...
Did y'all hear that disdain in the voice? Did y'all detect that sarcasm? I'd like to ask Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Almost sound like a little bit of a Dr. What's his name? Gorka. Yeah, there we go. Here we go.
Admit he and his network are a bunch of liars.
Mr. Stelter is the biggest minister of misinformation I have ever heard.
Talking about
his real name. Is whatever CNN says, do the opposite and you'll be fine.
So will the legacy media ever regain the public's attention and trust?
Not.
That's to be determined. But what's for certain is that CNN and MSNBC have yet to climb out of an ever-deepening hole. If the ratings have taught us anything, it's that the media's only hope is the return of Donald Trump.
And America's only hope is the return of Donald Trump right about now. Or someone in his exact image, meaning no rhino, no one held to politics. It can't be nobody with no tie. They can't ask for one dime, one favor from corporate. They can't ask for no favor from any politicians, including darn Republicans. Nothing. They got to come in solely on the people. Just like Trump, and the sad part is they got blindsided by Trump, and they have worked hard for the last 5 or 6 years to make sure no one gets in like he did. Caught him, man, flat-footed, knocked out. Bing. So, man, we pray that Trump or someone exactly like him gets elected, and we see what the media has done to make sure that that don't happen. Now, I just mentioned a few seconds ago, y'all, that the liberal media can get busted lying and admitting that this is what we've been doing and we've been lying about it, then they go dormant and come right out and do it again. Listen to Brian Stelter. This clip, the guy we was just listening to, you know him as Open Stadium up top slash little Brian Stelter. Use this phony narrative to try to force us or push us towards getting the you know what. Y'all ready for this mess?
Reward and the rhetoric around COVID-19. Reward and the rhetoric around COVID-19. If you think about it, life is just one big, long set of calculated risks.
Now, see, here's the problem. When I listen to a Laura Ingraham's, her opening statement or Tucker's or Hannity's or any person that at the end of the day, you might find some flaws here and there, but when they see things, and they talk about policies, you don't feel they're disconnected from the policy itself. You don't feel they're so removed from their narrative or their narration that they're fake, that when they're reading it, they sound like they're aware that they're fake. Brian Stelter is reading this like he rehearsed this for a high school play. He's reading this like he's trying to not only just convince us, but also Brian. So now he's trying to go in on some logic, y'all. He's trying to embrace and tap into us having two decisions to make. I'm not trying to force you. I'm not trying to force y'all to go get the you know what. I just want you to think about something, guys. Risk. That's all. So let's see how he paints this, y'all. Here we go.
If you think about it, life is just one big, long set of calculated risks. Crossing the streets of the park, driving the car to the store, boarding a plane for a trip. We all take some risks every day. If we didn't, we wouldn't be living. The COVID-19 pandemic is all about risk. It's all about how risky is it? How much do the vaccines reduce the risk? How much risk is acceptable to you? What's your risk tolerance? What about the risk of passing the virus on to others?
Oh, did y'all hear what little Brian said?
It's all about the risk. And you know what? And I mean, how much of this is the risk to you? And then what about the risk of passing it on to others?
Where do you think that one came out of? Where do you think that came from? Do you think that might have been a lead-in to here he is talking about risk, but he's not just laying out all the risk and possible risk, the pros and cons objectively, and just saying here they all are. That last statement that he just made was for a reason. So this isn't a opening statement about risk. No, he wants you to think that. This right here is an opening statement to convince you that not getting it is a risk. And you got to be willing to take that risk of getting it because the risk of not getting it is worse than the risk of getting it. As he sits there and tries to lie and pull this fake commentary off.
It's the cost-benefit analysis. COVID requires constant risk assessment. But those nuances don't always come through in the media coverage. Oh. And I would argue that the public health officials that we've all come to know over the past 18 months have not talked enough about risk assessment either.
Y'all hear that? See, it's that simple.
And I would argue about public health people that haven't talked about risk assessment enough either.
Are you kidding me? All we've been hearing, folks are dying. Grandma's dying. Kids are dying. Everybody's dying. If you don't get it, you're dying. If you get it, you might die if the other people don't get it. See, because you'll die if they don't get it, even though you got it. So there's really not a real benefit of getting it because if they don't get it, then you're still going to die. Everybody's dying. If you don't get it, you're definitely going to die. 100%. 100%. Now, we've been hearing that from them forever, and he's talking about
they're not stretching it enough.
As they bring on folks onto their network talking about, you know, we have to make it very difficult for these people not to get it. In fact, we got to make sure that these folks, you know, we don't give them, you know, any type of leeway. Because, see, if they're enjoying their freedoms without getting it, then why would they get it? And here he is telling us that they don't talk about the risk enough. Okay, so let's continue.
Quality news coverage and careful public health messaging should help you assess risk.
Careful messaging like Brian Stelter helps us. The same guy who works for the network that we just heard a few minutes ago talking about how they purposely put inflated numbers at the bottom of the screen to make everybody go, what? I'm about to die. You got to be kidding me. The same network that recorded that dude saying all of that was used for propaganda. The same network who brought Fauci on constantly talking about all of that mess. And yet, at the same time, we find out what? Fauci was lying in those emails. And now he's coming right back and running that stuff back. They don't learn. The propaganda is bigger than them. It's greater than them. They're like a habitual liar who gets caught 1 zillion times. And, you know, you just want to believe them because they're one of your cousins. They're one of your friends. And you're just like, man, I want to believe you. Dude, man, I'm telling you, I'm better now, man. I don't want. I got myself some help. I'm telling you, man. I'm done. I'm done with the lions. Man, I want to believe you, man. I'm telling you, Cam, man, look at me, man. It's me, man. I know. I know it's you. You've been lying a long time, and it's hard for me to think that you done got it all together. I did, man. Well, how did you get here? On a dragon. What? Yeah, man. I got a dragon parked out back, man. But I'm good, baby. I'm good. I'm what? See, get out my house. Get out. So here he is now trying to tell us,
we need to talk about the risk. Stop in an open stadium.
Make thoughtful decisions. We all have to think more like risk calculators.
Oh, no, no. We all need to think more like propagandists. We all need to think more like Brian Stelter trying to program us to think. That's what we want them to think about. We don't want them thinking objectively. We don't want them thinking rationally. No, no. So they send me out, okay, because I'm the number one prostitute on their network. This dude right here is willing to go to just the lowest common denominator to prostitute himself.
For example, the current COVID surge in the U.S. is real, but very unevenly distributed. The risk is very low in some places and quite high in other places. For fully vaccinated Americans, the risk of serious illness is supremely low. But for the unvaccinated, it is significant, significant risk. People keep saying this is another instance of two Americas, and it is. It's almost like we need two kinds of newscasts or two versions of the weather report.
No. We just need folks to be honest. We just need news networks to actually report the news, not push a propaganda. Now, here's the funny part about this. They trash Trump for pushing doxy. Say, you're not a doctor. How can you say this? You know what? Don't you think you're misleading people? But every single day they get on here and do what Brian did. They push this mess down everyone's throat every single day. But yet here he is talking about, we just need to be fair in the news and this and that. He's doing exactly what they accused Trump of doing. He's doing exactly the opposite of what he's trying to tell us he's not doing. Oh, boy.
The forecast is pretty sunny for the vaccinated, but it's quite bleak in some states for the unvaccinated. And this headline sadly says it all. Nearly all COVID deaths in the U.S. are now among the unvaccinated. What are those facts? Are these figures reaching people? Everybody is making risk calculations. We do it all the time. But in order to do that, we need accurate information. We need reliable data to then make risk assessments.
And you're not it, Brian. You are not it. They have proven that they're not reliable at all. And his show is called Reliable Sources or some garbage like that, which is the opposite of what he's providing for us right about now.
Eliminating risk is not possible, not during this pandemic. This story is all about minimizing risk. People who are vaccinated have already done that.
Well, darn it.
Instead of eliminating risk, it's about minimizing the risk of COVID. That's the way that the story should be told.
Well, heck, man, now listening to him, I guess I might as well go on out there and get it. You didn't convince me, little Brian Stelter. You convinced me to go the opposite. Just like that caller a little earlier that called in and they said, hey, whatever CNN says, go the opposite way. Do the opposite thing. That's my first indicator that that right there is a problem. When they say go in there, I'm going, what's in there? Is it a hatchet up above the door? As soon as I walk in, whoop, I don't trust them. Not one bit. And it's sad to say this, but this is one reason why. Listen to this. This is Raggedy Patty.
On the CDC guidance, why did the president say, if you've been fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask? Let me repeat, if you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask. If it was possible that was going to turn out
why
not to be
true. Why did you say
that,
y'all?
Well, Peter, I think we're all dealing with an evolving virus where there's no playbook and no historic precedent. And what the American people should feel confident in is that we are going to continue to be guided by science, look at public health data in order to provide new guidance if it's needed to save lives, to protect the American people. When he made those comments back in May, we were dealing with a very different strain of the virus than we are today. And Delta is more transmissible. It's spreading more quickly. It was nearly non-existent in the United States back in May.
Is it killing more people rapidly, more rapidly? See, here's my thought. My gut tells me that while you guys are working out the details, which the details will never be worked out, because until you have 100% participation in your diabolical scheme, you're not going to ever get off this horse. You're going to ride that horse regardless of it not moving at all. You're going to beat that dead horse into the ground. So here's she telling us that, it's just always changing and evolving. How about y'all work out the details and then get back with us? So you're going to let all these folks go through the motions? You're going to, all these folks that you've been asking to go get the you know what, then now you come back out and tell them, oh, that you know what ain't really working, but it does help a bit, but it's not really going to help. You still could die. So what we need you to do is run back and get another you-know-what for something else. And yet while y'all are working out the details, y'all want us to trust y'all and the funky, raggedy, stinking, nasty liberal media. I don't think so. It comes down to that, guys. I will jump out in some type of body of water, and I will just start swimming. Hopefully, I'll get to some other country. But what I'm not going to do is let them stick me with stuff. But yet, here's Raggedy Patty, now trying to clean that up. Oh, what's this? Black people don't want to get it either? Well, wait just a minute. What is this? Glenn Beck interviewing a black man, y'all.
With its COVID protocols, the NFL is implementing medical Jim Crow.
What?
And Joe Biden loves it. That's from the latest edition of the Blaze podcast from Jason Whitlock, who's joining us now. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Glenn. How are you? Happy Monday.
Yeah, thank you. So I heard this about the NFL over the weekend, what? And I'm not qualified to talk about it at all. So
yeah,
I thought I'd let you and Stu talk about it.
Perfect. I'm here.
Glenn Beck knew he can't talk about this issue when this title came out, y'all. Which is, you know, this the whole jab and everything is, you know, like the Jim Crow. So what Glenn's doing is punting this out to Jason Whitlock, who's a black sports commentator, who also repeated something that Tucker said, and he's about to break down why he feels that way.
Gonna do it.
Okay. So what do you mean by modern day Jim Crow?
To be quite honest with you, Tucker Carlson coined the phrase medical Jim Crow a couple of months ago. He was talking about how these COVID restrictions are going to negatively impact black Americans because we are the most reluctant by all the data says we are the most reluctant to take the COVID vaccine.
Wait a minute, Jason. That's not what I'm hearing. Now, here I am. I'm thinking to myself, let me go get the mods. But then I heard that all these white national Trump supporters, they're not getting it because they're white nationalist Trump supporters, not because there's other reasons. No, it's just because they're white nationalists. And I said to myself, you know what? Well, I definitely got to go get it now because all these white nationalists, they're the ones that don't want to get it. And they must be hiding something from me, I guess. Maybe is that the logic that they're trying to make? See, because I don't understand. I don't understand if black people, according to all the data, are the number one group of folks who say, then why every time I turn on the news and they're talking about people who don't want to get it, black folks are never mentioned, especially not in the context of we simply don't trust it. If it is mentioned, it's mentioned in the context of Joe talking about they're ignorant or they just don't understand it or they don't know how to use the internet to go and get it. Or even worse, they're used to being experimented on. It's never because we just don't want that mess. So let's hear what this brother got to say about this.
And we're seeing it play out in the National Football League. The NFL has implemented some rules in terms of even if you're unvaccinated and you breach any of the protocols they set up, including not having your mask on 24/7 whenever you're in the building, you're going to face a $14,000 fine. If your team has some kind of COVID outbreak that involves an unvaccinated player, your team could be forced to forfeit games and paycheck.
Now, wait just a minute. You know what I'm waiting on? The very first game, every single black football player and some white ones too. Take a knee. I want to see them protesting this mess. I want to stand down, y'all. One knee. Mm-mm. Take a knee. Y'all trying to just to get the mocks. Take a knee. Protest. Where is it? I want to see Coca-Cola and all them pick that up. I want to see all of them get behind it. We're with you, black non-jab people. Black non-jab people. That's what I want to hear. I want to see that all over their backs and jerseys. I want to see billboards, you know, none getting the jab black folks. But yet, I bet you they're not going to protest that too much.
Look at this. All of these restrictions, based on the data and the research and who's getting the vaccines, are going to disproportionately impact black NFL players negatively. What? It's how these COVID restrictions, again, the left loves to talk about, Jim Crow, voter suppression.
They do.
It's Jim Crow 2.0, and these rules requiring an ID are going to negatively impact poor black and brown people.
Yeah.
And it's all BS, Glenn.
It is.
I have yet, this whole voter ID deal It's a victimless crime in terms of I haven't seen any proof that black people are showing up at the polls and being turned away because they have no ID.
Yeah.
Or they're sitting at home, oh, I got no ID, I can't do voter mail or whatever. It's all garbage. What actually is legitimate is what's going on with these COVID restrictions, but you won't hear anybody on the left talk about it.
Okay, so why is it that the black community is the worst at not getting vaccinated?
No group of people has been preached to more aggressively, don't trust the government.
Right? Stu, we were right. Stu and I were talking about this morning, and we're like, if you're black, why would you take it?
Thank you. So wait a minute. Y'all got me all messed up. On one end, the cops are hiding around every corner. Systemic racism lurks in every crack and crevice. Hold on for a second, y'all. Let me double check. Make sure ain't no systemic racism under this couch. Okay, wait a minute. All right. Because when I came into this hotel, I was expecting them white folks down there to stop me and say, you know what, you're going to have to pay an extra price because you black. There's a black fee included. Okay. Systemic racism. We run this through that type of system. I was waiting. Okay, let me show you ain't got them bugged in here either because they don't trust us black folks. Now, we didn't been hearing that forever. But yet when it comes down to Democrats and them pushing a narrative, that we're supposed to trust them, not the other institutions, just the Democrats. Isn't that funny how that works? How they are the only part of the government that tells the truth and isn't out to kill us. Because I thought everybody was trying to kill black people.
Being told everybody is trying to kill you.
You're taking
this vaccine.
And look, there have been examples of the Tuskegee syphilis project that, from the 1930s that really damaged black men, and we were basically lab rats.
Yeah.
And so that's part of our history. Okay. But again, it's part of our history. What's going on today is corporate media and the Democratic puppet masters every day telling black people, man, this government is out to get you. It's systemically racist. You have no shot. And so it makes perfect sense for black people to say, man, I'm not going to trust an experimental vaccine that hasn't gone through all the proper normal protocols and channels that vaccines go through before they're issued in mass. It makes perfect sense for us to be the least likely to go get the shot.
So why then is the media attacking Trump supporters when it's not even true? Why are they going after people and not mentioning blacks and Hispanics, which are far more less likely to get vaccinated?
Help us out.
Because all the corporate media does is lie, and they particularly lie about race issues, and they want to demonize, oh my God, there's this Delta variant and it's Trump supporters. And again, it's almost like there are two dishonest messages confusing black people.
The
government's out to get you and they're plotting every day on how they can kill you. And two is, oh man, these Trump supporters, they're destroying America for you and you must hate them because they're your mortal enemy.
Now, why would they do that to us? Why would they purposefully lie to us? Why would they overlook that information and that data concerning why black folks aren't going to get that mess? Oh, you cannot come out and say, we're going to go ahead and put the pressure on black folks and make them get it because they're racist. See, you get no political capital like that. You can't push your biggest base, captive base, which burns me up. Without question, black folks support the same folks that's trying to stick this mess down their throats. But at the same time, you can't go too hard on them. So you got to make up softball excuses that black folks themselves never came to you with. So instead of saying, hey, why don't you want this? And listening, we're just going to assume you guys are too dumb to go and find out how to get on the internet and find out where to go get it. That's probably why you're not. We're going to go ahead and assume you're scared because of y'all are used to being experimenting on. Yeah, guys, Kev from Kevin's Corner, I haven't gotten experimented on since I was like 12. My first time being experimented on, I was 12 and they had me in tubes and stuff all up my nose and that for no reason. I didn't go in and say, I'm sick, doc. They snatched me in this van just took me off somewhere and experimented on me. Then my next experimental, encounter was when I was 20. Yes. They did it again. But yet, at the same time, this is what they're saying. When in reality, they know that this isn't true. It's not white nationalist Trump supporters. But they're hoping that enough bubbleheads, enough ignorant viewers would start hearing over and over again. The only folks who don't want to do this is your mortal enemies. It's those white nationalist Trump supporters. Now, do you want to be in that same group? Do you want to be hanging out with them? Well, let's see how I love the way Katie Pavlich or Lock or however she pronounces her name. She has a wonderful take on it. Here we come.
Should they have given President Trump more credit for Operation Warp Speed? Absolutely. Should then Vice President Joe Biden and then Senator Kamala Harris not downplay the vaccine and not, question whether it would be safe because it happened under the Trump administration? Yes, but I think the ship has sailed on getting more people vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And this is why.
Wow.
Trust has been broken at the CDC and among between the American people and health bureaucrats, including Dr. Fauci and Rochelle Walensky, for nearly a year now as a result of them going back and forth, lying to the American people on a variety of issues. And the bottom line is that if you want a vaccine, you can get a vaccine. This
That's
is not an issue of people not having access to it.
Right.
It's not an issue of people not knowing about it. It's an issue now of personal choice and personal liberty and whether people want to choose to go and get the vaccine.
Yes.
And also you have the White House just today completely undermining the vaccine when they say, look, even if you get vaccinated, you could still get sick and need to wear a mask, which
yes.
makes people think that the vaccine doesn't actually work
yes.
as well as they've been told that it works. And it's going to be interesting moving forward to see how they target people, because in Washington, D.C.,
okay.
Two-thirds of African-Americans have not gotten the vaccine.
What?
So are they now going to go out and force these people who have questions about it?
Yeah, that's what I want to know about, Joe. Hey, Joe, are you going to go and experiment on these black people that don't want to get it? See, this blows up their narrative. And I really wish the black community would speak out a little more so we can back them up off of not just us, but everybody. When they start seeing pushback from their beloved base, when their base start turning on them, when their base start seeing how corrupt and how tyrannical these folks really are, when they start becoming suspicious of them, what leader is always talking about forcing you to do stuff? When they start saying things like, you know what? Those that don't get it are killing people. That right there should be your first indicator. Well, am I in that category? Just because I don't want to? So what he's basically saying, all those black folks, that's what they're doing. They're out there killing folks. But see, they won't let your audiences know that. No. They'll just say it's all white nationalists. Uh-huh. Interesting how they're trying to put that spin on it. And speaking of a spin, y'all, even though I got a couple other things I wanted to mention about that, but also cannot let it go without touching on this type of garbage that we're about to hear from this dude concerning the Olympics right about now and his patriotic view of America. Now, a little bit earlier, we heard a lot of information, especially from my man Drone Tech, who was talking about how they will use these excuses to go after the George Washington statues, the Abraham Lincoln statues, the everyone, and including going after the American flag. Because let's be honest, that's the goal. The flag represents our country. The flag represents unity. The flag represents patriotism, and that bothers the liberals. How are you going to destroy a country and rebuild it in your image if the folks love the image that they already live upon? So with that being said, listen to this guy, his take on the Olympics and the flag on CBS.
I was telling you, my favorite part of the Olympics was always going to the stadium for the opening ceremonies.
I love
the opening ceremonies, March of Country. Then I just realized, man, particularly after these last 4 years, I had it wrong. Nationalism is not good. We've seen the rise of white nationalism. Nationalism is not good. And also this whole idea, I keep thinking back on the Capitol riots, and I saw a lot of, U.S. flags.
Right.
So now when I see the flag and the flag raises, what America am I living in?
Go to another one. That's my solution. These are easy fixes. These are easy solutions to problems. This man just talked about nationalism isn't good. So name me another country that you would be more interested in investing in. another country that you feel you'll be proud of that country, to own that country. So take your raggedy behind as you sit in this cool studio getting these paychecks from these white people. Yeah, as you sit in there doing their bidding, that's what you're doing, bruh. As you're sitting there doing their bidding, trashing this country that allows you to make that type of money sitting in there spewing this type of garbage. And yet, here he is talking about some, you know, after the last 4 years and after what happened on the 6th, I'm thinking, what are we doing? Here's the solution. Leave this country.
You know, are the ones that don't think, you know, we should be here, the ones that think that we should shut things down, the ones that... So I just think that this is a very... These Olympics should be a time of soul-searching, and winning sometimes is antithetic.
That's right. It ain't about winning. It's about soul-searching. And you know what? Being proud of your nation, that's a bad thing. It's a bad thing. Now, whose agenda do you think he's pushing? What narrative do you think he's pushing? What kind of propaganda do you think he's pushing? I mean, because for the last, 6 years, that's what I've been hearing the Democrat Party pushing. Don't be looking at this country as a good thing. In fact, I think it was Cuomo up there. What was America ever great? All of that stuff. It's funny how all of the negative people that have something to say about our country comes from that party and from these networks who support that party. And here's this dummy on TV talking about what took place on the 6th with, once again, no evidence that it was racially motivated. But the assumption is it was. The assumption is all of that was designed to make sure black people don't make it in America. Not one person in that crowd mentioned black people at all. But that's what they obviously were doing. And then, if you think that type of propaganda doesn't go far enough, listen to the new narrative about gun control, y'all. Here we go. Listen, because I didn't know this. I didn't know this. Listen to this. The brilliant people from the View. We got Joy Behar, who is a doctor that we didn't know about. And now we got the other light-skinned chick, who apparently is an expert on gun laws and on, of course, the Second Amendment. So let's hear her.
Sonny, what do you think is at the heart of America's gun problem, Sonny?
Well, you know, I think it's a cultural problem. Okay. And I think Anna is absolutely right. If you look at the history of the NRA for decades, the NRA has pushed legislation that not only supported a lot of gun ownership and the proliferation of guns, but also stifled the study and spread of information, right, about the causes of gun violence. And when we talk about the culture of
y'all hear Sonny? She's one of the worst on the show. Actually, the whole show, all of us, they're all raggedy. But here's Sonny again pushing some propaganda. So apparently it's the NRA, and it's crazy to me how they all picked the wrong organizations to go after. That's the first indicator that it is not about gun safety. The NRA, I don't know one mass shooter who is an NRA person. A member of the NRA. I do know the NRA supplied guns to former slaves so they can make sure that they fought against those Democrats who didn't want them to be free. I know the NRA has a lot of black folks that also are part of the NRA. But here's Sonny trying to tell us that somehow the NRA is in cahoots, what, against black folks? So let's finish hearing her propaganda before we destroy it and get out of here.
Of guns in this country. I'm reading an incredible book called The Second by Professor Carol Anderson. Propaganda. And she describes that the constitutional, the Second Amendment really was the right to bear arms was designed to protect slavery, right? Because they wanted our founding fathers.
I had no idea that's what it was. Well, darn it. Let me go give back all my guns, y'all. That Second Amendment was designed to protect slavery, not tyranny, slavery. So let's just go ahead and turn our guns back in because that should solve it. Now, let's just go ahead and entertain this stupidity for 1 second. Even if it was designed to protect slavery, is that what's currently going on right now? So should we, since it was designed to protect slavery, that means all black people should make themselves vulnerable again to slavery by giving all their guns back, supporting restrictions on guns so that we don't support something that started to protect slavery. Yeah, just the origin of that makes me want to make myself vulnerable to people in power. So it's going to make me want to give all my guns back because I don't want to be associated with anything that was started to protect slavery. So she wants us to become dumb and vulnerable. She wants us to say, well, you know what? We don't want to support that. Take our guns. And then, God forbid, we ever become slaves again. We would go back to this moment of stupidity and say, yeah, we gave our guns up because you told us that it was designed to protect us, protect slavery, rather. That's how dumb these people are. But the folks who believe this and buy it are even dumber.
And others, they wanted to be able to empower a local militia group to basically put down slave revolts and protect plantation owners.
Okay.
And so because of the origins of the Second Amendment and because of the NRA, I think we're seeing this proliferation of guns and gun ownership. But I will say that gun ownership is on the rise, of course, in this country. But the biggest gun ownership on the rise is among the African Americans.
Now, I wonder why. Notice what she just said. Biggest gun rise, African Americans. But now here's my question. We got two different reasons of why. Listen to her reason why black folks are buying guns, y'all.
It's up 58.2%.
Okay.
And in large part, when they are questioned, they're talking about white supremacy. They're talking about the pandemic. And they're talking about police violence. They want to be able to protect themselves. So this is not about a rise in crime.
Now, y'all hear that? So you're telling me, as I see black folks in the gun store all the time, you're telling me they're running in there to buy these guns because of white supremacy. The white supremacy, the white nationalist is doing what? Where is all of this footage? Now, I have seen a lot of black folks attacking black folks in black neighborhoods. And I ain't talking about with gang violence. I'm talking about like Antifa. I'm talking about Black Lives Matter. I mean, I've seen folks in black neighborhoods that if there was ever a reason to stick your gun out the door and say, get off my car or don't burn down my house. That's one reason I would, because Democrats have removed policing out of black neighborhoods. Secondly, here's this lady saying that it's because of police brutality. You're telling me that all these black people just running to get guns, they're doing it so they can be riding around in their car with a weapon in it, ready for the cops to pull them over so they can confront those cops with guns just from being pulled over. Just because I saw two or three knuckleheads get themselves shot. But yet, I'm going to go out by a gun, so as soon as I get pulled over, I'm going out like Bonnie and the Clyde. And yet, she's telling us, but it's not from violence and the rise of violence in black neighborhoods, huh? And then she misses one other factor. As we hear all of them talk about taking guns, restricting guns, bringing in all these new gun laws, that right there makes a lot of black folks go, well, I better get them before they take them. And yet you got this idiot out here pushing this propaganda. So dumb.
Streets. This is about people feeling unsafe, black Americans.
Okay. Here's a little history for you. Gun control in America is rooted in racism. That's right. The modern gun control movement is just today's version of the exact policies used to keep firearms out of the hands of freed slaves after the Civil War.
This is blowing up Sonny's narrative we just listened to?
Like we showed you last episode, gun control doesn't harm the powerful, connected, protected people who push for it.
Huh.
It's always been about controlling a segment of the population. And what better way to maintain dominance over an ethnic group than to ensure they're disarmed?
Good question.
Gun control has absolutely nothing to do ideologically with the control of firearms. If you do even a most cursory look at history between guns and gun ownership, you will find that without question, gun laws were created to restrict gun ownership from certain classes of people.
Wait a minute. We just heard Sonny tell us that those gun laws and restrictions that popped up that were really pushed by Democrats that didn't want free slaves to have guns are still pushing it? They're still trying to restrict folks from getting guns? And you telling me these same rich folks that sit in studios like Sonny who don't need guns and probably got protection and live in gated communities, but yet they want to push legislation to restrict law-abiding citizens from owning guns? You're telling me that even though they won't be impacted by none of these restrictions, they're trying to push them on us? Real history of gun restrictions.
Long before the revolution, long before the drafting of the Second Amendment, laws were passed in the various colonies in what is now the United States to take away guns from minorities.
The first gun control
law. Wait a minute. To take away guns from minorities. So it's not just to protect slavery? It wasn't? Because, see, I just heard Sonny tell us, y'all, that it wasn't to, you know, it was because they was trying to protect slavery. But it sounds like that they wanted these guns removed from black folks because they're like, we've been treating these black folks so bad under Democrats and our slave plantations and the Ku Klux Klan that if they ever get free and get guns, they might just get mad. They might just go ahead and resist us riding around in our Democrat outfits, those white sheets looking like ghosts with cone heads and stuff like that. They might put one in us while we're riding past. Interesting.
Laws in America start in 1620 in Virginia when the legislature enacts a law saying don't let black people have guns.
Virginia.
And that's been sort of the...
No, wait, let me check. Virginia back then, that was, that was the Democrats. That was the Democrats. And they were saying, don't let black people have guns. Does Sonny know this? Does Sonny know this? Somebody need to send this to Sonny.
Key theme of American gun control for centuries ever after.
In the famous Dred Scott opinion, Justice Taney makes it clear that one of the reasons blacks should not be treated as equal citizens is that if they are, they will enjoy the right to keep and bear arms wheresoever they go.
But wait a minute, they want brothers to have the guns just like Sonny? Just like Sonny brought up? Yeah, and all of the folks she worked for who want to restrict all of that mess? The folks she worked for who release all the violence in those black neighborhoods and then tell them, you don't need no guns. You don't need no guns. That's funny? Okay.
It wasn't that they said the Second Amendment doesn't apply to these people.
Okay.
It was they're not considered people.
What?
Because if they're considered people, they would have the right to own firearms. Huh. Even though the slaves are free by the 13th Amendment, some states still prohibited black people from being armed.
And so you get a whole spate of state-level laws either explicitly barring African-Americans from enjoying their civil rights.
Where's Sonny?
Or doing so cleverly, for example, by restricting what guns are available, maybe to those who served in the Confederate Army. Well, we all know who served in the Confederate Army and who didn't. You do the math. It was
Sonny needs to read better books. Whatever book Sonny's reading is making her dumber. So here we have these folks, these historians telling us that no, it wasn't because of what Sonny was talking about. So these Democrats are doing exactly what they did a long time ago, trying to restrict law-abiding citizens from having guns and making excuses why black folks shouldn't be able to participate in the Second Amendment, because apparently it's all about, you know, maintaining slavery and all of that. We only got a couple minutes left. This right here, y'all, is a great reference that destroys the whole narrative of what they're talking about, and especially what Sonny's talking. And black folks and other minorities need to start realizing that folks to support that Second Amendment is not supporting it because I'm a white man, just won't make sure I keep my guns just in case these black folks. You think white folks in America is worried about black folks running up in their darn community and just attacking them and taking over their way of life? No, they're worried about the government doing that. I really doubt if any white person that owns weapons and believes in the Second Amendment, their first thought is, I'm owning these weapons because I'm worried about black folks. No. As a black man, all my guns, I do not even once think that, oh, I got all these guns because just in case of white supremacy and white nationalists rush my crib. I'm thinking of Joe Biden talking about, we're going to be sending people door to door. I'm thinking about corporate America teaming up with Joe Biden and all of them, finding out ways to force folks to do what they don't want to do. I'm thinking about listening to all these Democrats all the time. That 10 seconds, y'all. Yeah, I'm thinking about stuff like that. All these Democrats who's running around saying things like, you know, we need gun restrictions.